Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Ezekiel. Chapter 36, I'm going to read a couple of verses from there. Ones that should be familiar to us. Ezekiel 36, verses 26 and 27. And let me start with 25. I like that verse. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Let's pray. Lord, you alone have the words of life, and you alone can reach into our hearts and make us really different. We can dress up the outside, but only you can really make a change within us that gives us a whole new outlook and a whole new way of living. And that's what you promised in Ezekiel, and that's what you accomplished in Christ. And we here today are recipients of all the blessings that have flowed from your throne. And we want to dig deeper into what it means to be your people who are called to do good works. We ask you that we will be faithful to hear your word and to believe you that we can do what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The last 3 weeks, we've been looking at the good work that God has called his people to do. And we've seen that there is the requirement for good works. We saw that in Micah 6:8, which says, He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Those are the requirements of what it means to do good if we are to walk with God. And then we saw that the people of God have been chosen, have been selected out of all of humanity to do these good works, to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. And Ephesians 1:4 and 2:10 say, For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. There is the predestining of God that he has selected, chosen, without any cause in us. He's chosen that we would be those who carry out certain actions, certain works that he has ordained us to do. And then not only has he given us the requirement to do good works, and not only has he chosen us to do those good works, but he's also equipped us by God's grace to do that. He's not given us assignment and not given us the wherewithal to get it done. And we saw that in Hebrews 13, where it says, May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So God's grace is given to us to enable us to meet the requirements of his command and to live out the fact that we are chosen by him to do certain activities, certain actions. And today's scripture from Ezekiel speaks to a very important issue, and that is, where do we get the power to keep on doing what God has called us to do? Where do we get the power to do good, to do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with God, and then to carry out his assignments that he has ordained beforehand, before the foundation of the world, to do? Where do we get the power? I don't know if you've seen the movie. It's one of my favorite movies, Chariots of Fire, the story of Eric Little, and it's got some good parts, and there are some things I think that are glorifying to God in that. But at one point, the actor who plays Eric Little, who was a guy who ran the Olympics in 1924, he was a Scotsman who really became a missionary in China after the Olympics were over. But he ran really for the glory of God, refused to run on Sunday, and gave God the glory for it. But he had the actor who plays the part, after he's done this phenomenal race, they ask him, where does the power come from? And he says, the power comes from within. Now, unfortunately, in the movie, the sense is that he just sort of had it within him. You know, he just sort of, somehow you reach down inside yourself and pull out these great resources that are within every human being to do this great had this great comeback in this race. But that's not really what the Word of God is telling us here. The power does come within, in a sense, that is, the presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of a child of God is the source of power. He is the dunamis, the dynamite, the power to do what God has called us to do those good works. And that's what we find here in Ezekiel, that God says, first of all, you cannot do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God unless there has been a change of nature that the Holy Spirit himself must bring about. So God has called his people, he's chosen his people to carry out certain good works, and he's come to live within in the person of the Holy Spirit to give us the power to do that. So he changes the nature of our hard and cold heart, so that instead of running from God, we want to run to God. Instead of being uninterested in God's commands, we want to obey God's commands. He gives us a heart that is oriented towards him. Otherwise, there is no power, because there is no desire to do the good that God requires. So the power to do good must come from God himself, because in and of ourselves, we cannot do the good that God requires. These good works that God has called us to do are of two basic kinds. I want to call the first kind the ordinary works. The ordinary ways in which we are to do the good work of God. And those good works that are ordinary, in a sense, are those that come as a result of being united with Christ. That is, the development and the exhibition of the character of Christ, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That is, only the Holy Spirit of God can enable us to do the good works that exhibit the life of Christ in our life. It is, we can have an imitation and we can look like the real thing, but only God's Spirit himself can so change our hearts that we want to be with Christ and like Christ and then demonstrate the character of Christ in our lives. Look at 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3, verses 16 through 20. Where John says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This, then, is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything." These are ordinary acts of goodness that come from the life of someone who belongs to Christ. You don't have to have a special calling to be kind to people. We don't have to have a special calling to do good to people, to help people in their need, to see people who are in trouble and want to assist them. That is not a place that we say, that's not my gift. No, no. These are ordinary good works that God's Spirit living in a person enables him to do because he wants to do it. He wants to exhibit the character of Christ. He wants to glorify God. There is a love for God, and therefore a love for others. These are ordinary good works. But then there are extraordinary ways that we are to do good works. These are special abilities, callings, gifts that God gives not to everybody, but he divides them up. He spreads them out. So everybody doesn't have the same gift or the same ability, spiritual ability, or the same calling. And these gifts and abilities are given to, in an extraordinary kind of way, to build up the body of Christ and also to exhibit the grace of God, proclaim the grace of God to the surrounding world. Not everybody is equally called or gifted to do that. But everybody has some way in which they are to exhibit those extraordinary good works. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. I think it's important to look at the scriptures in trying to understand and trying to be impacted by what God has called us to do and to be. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. In this whole discussion, chapters 12, 13, and 14, Paul is talking about this, the presence of God's Spirit in the life of the believer, demonstrating the character of Christ and then to accomplish God's calling and purpose for his church. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another the ability to speak in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. This, then, are works that God has ordained before the foundation of the world that are not equally manifested in every individual's life. There are the ordinary good works that are the evidence of the Spirit of God in all who belong to him. the character of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit. But then there are extraordinary gifts that enable every individual to do extraordinary or Spirit-empowered work that has the purpose of building up the body of Christ or seeing the kingdom of God expand. So these are good works that God has empowered His people to perform. And everyone who belongs to Christ participates in that. Now, the good works then are empowered by the Holy Spirit's presence in the life of the believer. But those good works are done as part of the work of the body. That is, our individual actions are to be seen as part of the work of the whole, not just my thing. It's not just that I've been gifted and so I'm going to do what I've been gifted to do, regardless of its impact upon the body of believers around me, or whether or not they benefit from it. I'm going to do my thing because that's what I've been called to do. The way that he describes the function of the body here in 1 Corinthians 12 is such that there is this working together, the different parts and their different abilities all function together to give a coordinated effort to accomplish the good works that God has called us to do. I am to see myself and my gifts then as not something that are to sort of be a badge of honor or recognition or of approval from God upon me. They are to be seen as functions that enable the whole body to together accomplish the good works that God has ordained us to do. And therefore, there's not to be any kind of competition nor of envy or jealousy because we don't have a particular gift or a particular calling. Because we're all in this together. When the body is doing its work, then the whole body is full of joy. That's the picture that we have here. So God has given us this power by the presence of His Spirit in us and collectively to work together to accomplish the good works that He's called us to do. So the question then is not so much, how am I doing? You know, Rudy Giuliani became famous for asking that some years ago, how am I doing? That's not really the issue from the perspective of the Word of God. It really is, how are we doing as a body? How are we doing? And how am I playing my part? How am I living out my part in making the whole body healthy? If we conclude that the body is not healthy? Or how am I doing my part to make the whole body function and accomplish its purpose in this particular place in time? So it's not how come I am doing so well and other people are doing so poorly, but how can we together accomplish what God has called us to do? The power of the Holy Spirit, then, is for empowering the whole body of believers. That's what glorifies God, when the whole body is functioning, each doing his part, and each wanting to encourage and help the others. That's where the power of God is displayed, and the glory of God is seen. We see this in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, in the very beginning of the church as we know it, the day of Pentecost, it wasn't that somebody got up and sort of a supernatural display of power, or because he spoke in tongues or did miracles. It wasn't one individual. It was the collection of the 120 altogether that was the phenomenal aspect of that and what really displayed the glory of God. In verses 4 and 11, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And that's what caused the people to say, we're all hearing and them all declare the wonders of God in our own tongues. It was not individuals who were star roles, but it was the evidence of the whole body glorifying God. And then over in 1 Corinthians, again, chapter 14, and Paul talks about the effect of the Holy Spirit empowering the church to build itself up. In 1 Corinthians 14, verses 24 and 25, he says, if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everybody is prophesying, that is speaking in the common language of the glories of God, he will be convinced by all that he is a sinner and will be judged by all, and the secrets of his heart will be laid bare, so he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. It is the presence of God being exhibited in the character, in the ordinary ways of displaying the love of God, and the extraordinary ways of the presence of God manifesting himself in the life of the church that maximizes the glory to God and makes an impression to those around. So it is not enough for me to think, well, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm exercising my gifts. It's not enough. It's what God is doing is, and what he's always done, is to work in the body of believers to demonstrate his power and his glory. So, if he has indeed empowered his people to live out in ordinary ways the love and character of Christ, and he's also empowered his people to exhibit in supernatural ways his presence among us, what are we to do? In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter speaks, I believe, to this issue for us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. He says, it's 2 Peter, not 1 Peter. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 9. He says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Okay, so God has given his people, through the promises, through the word that he's given to us, the power that we need to live life both in ordinary and extraordinary ways. He's given us the power for his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. And then here it comes. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Make every effort. That is, the idea that we are just sort of passively going down the tubes is something to be rejected by the people of God. And if we are aware that we ourselves are not exhibiting in ordinary ways, in our ordinary experiences of life, the character of Christ, we need to make every effort to see that change. If we understand that our character is not displaying the love of God, we have slipped. We've gotten away from the simplicity of simply loving God and loving others. We are not just to say, I don't know, I mean, I'm tired. We are to make every effort. And in a similar way, we are not to say, well, because I used to exhibit gifts or I thought I had a calling of God and say, well, I guess I don't anymore, or other people are not doing it either. We are to make every effort to see the display of God's power, of the Holy Spirit's power, both in ordinary and extraordinary ways. And we have no excuse if we don't do that, because He's given us great and precious promises. He's empowered us with the presence of His Spirit. And so if we are powerless in our daily lives, in our interactions with others, or if we are powerless to see the church build up and see the kingdom of God expand, the problem is not God's. And the problem is not other people either. The problem is, I need to make every effort. And I need to be involved in seeing others also make every effort, that the whole body can exhibit the character of Christ in ordinary ways and the extraordinary power of Christ to change the hearts of people. If we have a problem here, it's our problem. It's the body. Because God has given us His great and precious promises. And we need to make every effort to see that power demonstrate in ordinary and extraordinary means. Let's do that. Let's demonstrate that indeed the presence of God's Spirit is in us, and we're not just sort of drifting downstream to whatever happens. Que sera, sera. Hey. Let's make the effort that God has commanded us to make based upon His promises that His presence is with us and He's given us what we need for the ordinary and extraordinary actions that He has ordained us to carry out, the works, the good works that He's ordained us to demonstrate in our daily interactions in extraordinary ways. Let's pray. Father, we call You Father because by Your grace we have been adopted into Your family, and Your family has a way of living and a calling, a work to do. Lord, forgive us when we have been lazy in our demonstration of Your presence in our life in the ordinary interactions with people around us. Forgive us, Lord. Bring us to a deeper repentance so that we can show Your presence in our lives in these ordinary interactions of daily life. But also, Father, the works that You've ordained us to do before the foundation of the world and seeing Your church build up and the kingdom of God expand by using the gifts that You have given to us, the callings that You have placed upon our lives, where we have failed, where we have become irresponsible and lazy. I pray, Lord, that we will see your presence manifested more and more in our body, that we would all respond to the gift that you've given to us and the part we are to play in the building up of this body and the expansion of your kingdom here in this place. Lord, we as the body of Christ in this particular location are grateful that you have given us your great and precious promises. And we want to lay hold of those and to make every effort to live out those great works that you've called us to do and you have equipped us to do and you have empowered us to do by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.